Good morning. Happy Sabbath. I'm very happy to be here with you all this morning. Unfortunately, Anna and the boys couldn't make it today. In Cooper, there's going to be a Christmas parade this evening, and the church is going to be putting in a, float. Yes. It's like, it's not a coast, but it rhymes with coast. It doesn't even rhyme with coast. It's a float. We're going to have the nativity scene and stuff, so please pray for that as we hand out some literature and everything like that. But the title of the sermon, and I'm horrible with titles, but that's what the best I could come up with is stirring the pot, you know, stirring the pot. But it's I love this season, don't you? You know, you have Thanksgiving, and then a little bit later you have Christmas, and it's such an awesome time of the year. You know, this is a time where people are receptive to hearing some good news. You know, only in America, and I praise the Lord that we live in this country, only in this country do we have a holiday to eat. We have an eating holiday. Think about that. You have, amen, yes, an eating holiday. And it's like, because we don't get, you know, 3 square meals a day sometimes. In some people's cases, 4 or 5 meals a day. You know, you have to have your middle of the day breakfast and the second lunch, you know, and even third dinner. It's important to have those things. But only in this country do we have a holiday to commemorate food. And we stuff our faces with it. You talk about gluttony, you know. But it's so much fun just getting together with friends, getting together with family. And, you know, I ask people, you know, what's your favorite part of Thanksgiving? Oh, the food. Well, this, you know, the turkey or the dressing or the pies and stuff like that. But it's interesting because that's usually from younger people. But the more you ask older people, their response changes. It isn't the food. It isn't the turkey. It isn't the traffic. I've never met anybody that's, oh, I love the traffic. I love holiday traffic. Nobody has ever said that. I hate holiday traffic. It's the getting together of people. Haven't you noticed that? The older you get, yeah, when you're a kid, you're like, yes, I get to, you know, have this food, and I get to have this pie, and I get to have all these desserts. But the older you get, the more you realize that the food is great, but what is actually important? The people. You know, we went up to Missouri to see my father-in-law for Thanksgiving, and I love my father-in-law. He's such a cool guy, and my mother-in-law, she's just amazing, amazing people. And she said something that hurt me, and she didn't intend it to be hurtful. She said, I can't believe I haven't seen the boys in 2 years. The reason it hurt me, without her meaning it to hurt at all, is like, man, I want my boys to be around their grandparents. And I was like, this is not good. And this is on my part. She loves her grandkids. I'm like, man, we got to do more. I told Anna, we got to do more. We can't let this happen. You know, when my boys are taller than her now, and she's like, I just can't believe how big they are. And she was so proud of them, and both of them were so proud of the boys and stuff. But my father-in-law wasn't like, oh, I'm so excited about the vegetarian. I'm so excited about the loaf we're going to eat. I'm so excited about this pie. No, he was excited because we had gotten together to make the trip up there. She was excited to be, they were both excited to be with family. And then Christmas time comes around, and what's the most exciting part for Christmas for young kids? You know, what am I going to get for Christmas? You know, I haven't been here in a while, but I actually took a job as a Spanish teacher at Commerce Middle School, and I'm enjoying it. And one of this little girl, she raises her hand. It was so sweet. She's a sixth grader. She loves to talk. She loves to talk. Oh, my word. And she raises her hand, and she's like, how many of y'all still believe in Santa Claus? Raise your hand. And it was just an out-of-the-blue question. You know, here I am teaching, and she's asking who believes in Santa Claus. I go, what? And nobody raised their hand. At least nobody was brave enough to raise their hand. And she goes, good, because Santa Claus ain't real, guys. She says it like, she just realized, Santa Claus ain't real, guys. What her answer was saying is like, it was about the presents. Christmas is about the presents for her. And for kids, it usually is. For most kids, the Christmas is about presents. But then when you get older, what is it about? It's about family. Again, it's about being together with family. You know, for when you're a child, you can't wait for your birthday, you know, because your friends are going to get together and you guys are going to get to play. And, you know, what kind of presents are you going to get? But the older you get, you're like, I don't want to be reminded. I don't want to be reminded that I'm getting older. What do you want to do? Let's just go out to eat and celebrate. You know, it's an interesting dynamic, an interesting change that the older we get, the more the gifts aren't the important part. The more of the important part is the getting together with family, getting together with friends, the fellowshipping. And I think the reason for that is because the older we get, the more we realize that our time is running out. And all of a sudden, the new pair of shoes that I wanted as a kid, those don't matter. A car is only going to be an expense. But family, friends, that's what actually matters. That's what actually is important. So here in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, it's an interesting passage because this is a passage that we all like to use to include. And a lot of people, and I know you've heard it say, there's this guy, and he's a country music singer. His name is Larry Fleet. And he has this song, and it's called Where I Find God. And I was listening to that song. I was like, man, that is such a good song. You know, he's talking about where he finds God. He says, on a boat, out on the lake, in the deer blind, in my truck. That's where I find God. And I was thinking to myself, it's true, that is where you find God. But the issue becomes when we think to ourselves, I don't need to go to church. Because I can go to church, and I have had kids tell me this as a youth pastor in the past, like, well, why do I need to go to church? I can go up to the mountains, I can go up to the woods, and I have a spiritual connection with God. I'm like, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. You know? The issue becomes when you stop getting together with fellow believers. That's when it becomes the issue. Because we like to then worship our alone time rather than the Creator with our brothers and sisters who have received grace and salvation through Jesus Christ. So we like to use this verse to say, well, you know what, don't stop coming to church. It's important for you to come to church. And that is what this verse is saying. But there's a portion of this verse, there's a portion of this passage that we love to leave out. We like to use this verse to scold. We like to use this verse to say, hey, you need to continue to meet in church. Because Lord forbid our numbers go down. Lord forbid our attendance goes down. We need to keep our church looking nice and full. Every pastor likes that. And I speak from experience. Let me read this verse to you again and listen to what it's saying. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another in so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we love to see our churches full. Don't we? We love, you know, when I've done evangelism here, I've done evangelism in other places, and I've attended evangelistic series. And it's unfortunate. The invention of the internet has been great, but it also has been a stumbling block, almost a curse sometimes, if I can say that. Because now people are like, well, why do I need to go to church? I can just stay home and watch it online. Why do I need to go to this evangelistic series that's 20 minutes away, 30 minutes away, when I can just watch it online? So while, yes, it's great because we get to be able to share the gospel with people who maybe wouldn't come to church, it also hurts us in the sense that the people who would have come to church don't come to church because now they're like, why do I need to even go anymore? Right? So what happens is because we want to, I think it's called window dressing. We want our church, the video, whenever the camera pans the congregation, we want to be able to say, wow, that church is full. But you know what we do? We put everyone towards the front. Please, everybody, come towards the front. And we block off the aisles in the back so that this way everybody's in the front. So that this way when the camera floats around, you're like, wow, that evangelistic series has great success, everybody. It's full. It's incredible, huh? And it makes us feel good. And the person watching online is like, wow, that's great. But the person who's preaching from the platform and only sees four or five pews full and the other 20 empty, oh, that's hard. That's hard, and I speak from experience. And it reminds me of when I was a kid in Mexico and living out there and stuff, and obviously before the invention of the internet, and in some places, at least the village where I grew up, we didn't even have electricity. So whenever they were powering the microphones and the amps, Charles, can you imagine having to do it with a gasoline power generator? And you had to put that sucker away because it wasn't quiet. But and you hear that the entire time. But the beautiful part was the churches would all come together and it was jam-packed. Jam-packed to the point where there's, let's say this is a window here. There's little kids with their faces just listening, just watching. And it's a bunch of little heads just watching. People sitting on the windowsill. People sitting outside. They have to put speakers outside. They would actually put shade coverings outside so that people could be able to hear. It was jam-packed. And it's like, man, what has happened that our churches aren't jam-packed anymore? And we write research papers, and going through the seminary, they try to encourage us that this is the latest and the greatest on how to grow your church. This is the latest and the greatest on what is effective. If you only do this, this is what's going to make your church grow. If you only do this, this is what's going to make your church grow. And we want the secret potion. We want that that shot, that pill that will make me look 40 years younger. That will make my hair grow lush and curly again. That will, if I take this pill, all of a sudden I'm going to be buff again. I'm going to have the energy that I had when I was 21 years old. If I only do this. And we think to ourselves, if I only do that, that is what will make our church grow. And I heard it from professors. This is the most important thing that you can do to help your church grow. This is the most important thing that you can do to have a successful evangelistic series. I was like, okay, Lord, what is it then? Huh. It's a lot, isn't it? But then you look at this verse. And it begins with, and let us consider one another. And let us consider one another. In other words, have you thought about someone else? Have you thought about someone else? Let us consider one another. Why? Well, John Smith is here. Have you noticed that Brother Smith hasn't been to church in a long time? I can't believe that. Where's his wife? Where's Sister Smith? Why haven't they been to church? Oh, we should pray for them. We like to use that. Oh, we should keep them in our prayer. But inside we're like, I don't know where they are. You know what? I noticed they were a little bit cold last time. Maybe so. But when this is speaking about let us consider one another, it's not speaking about putting them down. It's not speaking about being boastful. It's not speaking about cutting anybody down. It's saying, look out for one another. Why aren't they here? Why isn't Brother John Smith here? Is everything okay? Why isn't Brother, name whoever. Why isn't sister whoever? Why aren't they here? Is everything okay? That's what this verse is saying. We like to use the part. We love to use the part. Don't stop coming to church. You need to be at church. Why do you want to be at church if sometimes they don't ever call you? Why do you want to be at church? Because sometimes that's where you can be hurt the most. It hurts to hear it. It hurts to say it. It hurts to be a culprit of someone like that. Something like that. And let us consider one another. Why? In order to stir up. We love stirring up. We love stirring the pot, don't we? We love stirring the pot. You know, I love cooking. I love cooking. That doesn't mean I know how to cook very well, but I love to think that I do. I love cooking. So yeah, when I was growing up, my dad, he taught my brother and I how to cook and stuff, and he would tell us. And he would tell us in the kitchen, he's frustrating, he's cutting away and stuff, and here we are, and you better hurry and do whatever your dad's telling you, because quick, hurry up, because you're hungry. And he told us, you better learn how to cook. And pay attention, because who knows, you may marry a woman that doesn't know how to cook. Those were his words. And I was like, all right, thanks, Dad. By God's grace, my wife cooks very, very well. But I hadn't cooked in a while. I hadn't cooked Spanish rice in a while. This is when we were in Colorado. And I was like, man, I want some refried beans and I want some Spanish rice. So I started cooking and stuff, and I told Anna, this is what we're going to do. And I got the Spanish rice going, and everything's going good, and it smells so good. It smells just like how my mom used to make it. And I was like, man, I'm excited. My stomach was letting me know, too. It's saying, hurry up, dude. I'm hungry. I put some salt in there and stuff, and we sit down, and the boys are little, and we sit down in the kitchen, and I was like, man, this feels good. Get some beans and stuff. I don't know about you guys. I know that there are some people that don't want their food to touch. I don't care. Spoon it all in. Put it in my mouth. Don't spit it out, because that's gross. My wife, with her big blue eyes, oh. I was like, I added too much salt. She's like, you added a ton of salt. I was like, whoa, this is disgusting. She's like, no, don't throw it. I was like, I was about to throw it away. I was so mad because I prided myself in being a cook at Chili's. I worked at Chili's. I worked at Golden Corral. I worked at Schlotsky's. My dad taught me how to cook. It's just in my blood. Ugh. I was like, this is horrible. What was this extra salty? Is this extra salty salt? What is this? Like, what is this nonsense? She's like, how much did you put in there? I don't know. I grabbed the little thing and I went like this, like I always do. Obviously not. This is too much. I was like, I'm going to throw it away. She's like, no, don't throw it away. Or what are you going to do? Try putting some sour cream on it. All right. So now I had rice, beans, tortillas, and I can't remember what else we had, but I remember that rice. And then we put some sour cream. I was like, maybe that'll help. How did it get worse? Like, this is now even more disgusting. We threw it away. Nope. Mom, I was like, I'm gonna get a heart attack. Isn't that what creates high blood pressure? Yeah. Yeah, I had a pounding headache after one spoonful of this nonsense. Like, holy moly, like, this is crazy. It was too much. A lot of times we love to stir the pot. So another time, when we were back in Texas, I get these ideas in my head. I don't know why. And I was like, some flour tortillas sound really good. My mouth is salivating right now. But then I remember, I was like, no, not that good. So I texted Anna, hey, when I get home, how about we make some flour tortillas and stuff? And she was all excited, like, yes, that would be great. That would be so much fun. And I'm picturing it in my head, you know, kids rolling out the dough and, you know, kind of cheesy music. Ha, 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 what a happy family. Here we are making our flour tortillas. And she goes, have you ever made them? I was like, it can't be that hard. Flour and water and butter, right? She goes, are you sure you know what you're doing? I was like, it's fine. I was like, I've seen my mom make these. And then I was thinking, I was like, oh, shoot, hers weren't very good. Well, it can't be that hard. I watched some videos on my break. I watched some YouTube videos on how to make a flour tortilla. I was like, and it'll be fine. These suckers were like biscuits. I was like, why aren't they thin? She's like, roll them out more. Roll them. And all of a sudden, it's like, you can imagine, you know, in your imagination, play some dramatic music, like rolling these suckers out, and I get them thin, and I'm like, these are like biscuits. She's like, I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm like, yeah, with butter and jelly. These are not flour tortillas. She's like, but they're edible. They're better than your rice. I'm like, yeah, that is true. They are better than the rice, you know? So we love to stir the pot. But the pot that this is talking about is actually knowing how to cook and put something delicious together. You know, when you cook, and this is what's beautiful about the church. The church is different. We all have different personalities, don't we? You have your introverts. You have the people that are very outgoing. You have the people that love working behind the scenes. And you have the people that are gifted and can be working up here, tell children's story about the owl, great story. You have everyone in church. You have everyone in church. Everyone is a different ingredient. But when you are And when you are able to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, bring what you bring to church and serve God, it becomes into a delicious meal. But when there is one substance that is overpowering that pot, it can become too spicy, too salty. You don't want to be too salty when it comes to food. But when it comes to sharing the gospel, you want to be extra salty. You know? It's just, it's interesting. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just because I was, you know, been married to Anna. We're going on 20 years in May. And, yeah, praise the Lord. God has given me a lot of patience. No, I'm just kidding. God has blessed her with patience to put up with my craziness. But we've tried a bunch of different stuff that I would have never tried before. And one of our favorite ethnic meal, I love ethnic food, is Indian food. I love Indian food. I love Thai food. I love food, as my body well shows. But with Indian food, it's so interesting. You know, with Mexican food, it's like, oh, you got your Spanish rice, you got your beans, you know, and tortillas and whatever protein you have. It's like it's pretty simple. But there are some dishes in Mexico. Don't let it fool you. It's so complicated. But with Indian food, it's like, what is this? Like it's so colorful, and you taste it. I'm like, how is it spicy and sweet? What is in this? It's so delicious. And you try to pinpoint the one flavor, and it's like, I can't pinpoint it. You taste some of this, you taste some of that. It's like, it's just, everything is so well balanced and delicious. There's a dish in Mexico called mole. I love some good mole. And I don't know how to describe it. It's, you know, usually it's turkey or chicken. And it's like, the consistency is like curry. And you have different colors of mole because it's depending on what region of Mexico you're from. So I was watching the video. Don't worry, I was not going to try to cook this because I know I would butcher it. And I was watching a video because I love mole. And my grandma's used to be spicy and sweet. And it would take her an entire day to make it. Okay, so I was watching this video, and it's like, I can't remember what part of Mexico, southern Mexico, but I can't remember what state, they have their own specific type of mole. They put animal crackers, they roast peanuts, and they put the peanuts in there. They put, you guys, it's like a Mexican chocolate, it's a little dish, it's called chocolate abuelita. They put some of that in there. I was like, what in the world? I guess that's where the sweetness comes from. Huh, that's interesting. Then they put all kinds of different peppers. And they have to do it in a specific way. But when it's all well balanced, it is amazing. It's delicious. So I had a church member years ago. He loved making hot sauce. And he would call it his, you know, world famous hot sauce. And I would tease him. I was like, famous, world famous, never heard of it. He's like, Pastor, you got to try it. I'm like, I'll try it. I put some on my food. And it burned a hole in my tongue. I was like, what? I was like, dude, don't give this to anybody. This is dangerous. Is it good? No, it hurts. He's like, but it's good, right? No, it's not good. You can't taste anything. I think I got a blister on my tongue now. He goes, it's not that hot, Pastor. I'm like, dude, it actually is super, super, super hot. I'm glad that you love it. But like, this could cause a stroke. This sucker, this will get rid of rust. Like, this sucker is rough. He's like, what do you think I should do? I was like, tame down the heat. Tame it down. Let the natural flavor come up and stuff. Add some garlic, add some onions, some cilantro. No, it just needs to be hot sauce. Obviously not. I was like, how often do you take this home? Full. Pretty often. What does that tell you? Well, they can't take it. They don't want it. It's different. It's a difference between they don't want it and they can't take it. Is this making sense? So here, again, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. When we consider one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, when we look out for one another and say, hey, you know, why isn't brother so-and-so here? Hey, brother, sister, I haven't seen you in a while. Is everything okay? I was wondering if I could just come by and just pray with you. Is there anything we can do for you? There are people who need help. There are people who just need a hug. And you may think to yourself, well, that's not my gift. Well, you better make it your gift, because this verse is telling us that we need to be looking out for one another. It says, to stir up what? To stir up love and good works. The world right now is so divided. It's not just our country. Well, you red? Oh, well, I only hang out with the blue. You're blue, I only hang out with the red. And we're so divided. In the church, you think to yourself, well, our church isn't like that. The Seventh-day Adventist Church is united. No, the church itself can also be divided. What people are looking for is somewhere where they can be loved. Did you hear what I just said? What people are looking for is somewhere where they can feel loved, where they can feel like, I feel peace, I feel at home. People want to come home. God created us to be coexist. God did not create us to put us in one little group over here, you go over here, you go over here. No. God wants us all together. That's what we're created for. God created us for relationships. God created us for love. God made us all different. And that's okay. It says, stir up love and good works, not forsaking, and then this part comes in, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. People don't want to assemble where there's tension. People don't want to assemble where they hurt. And sometimes when there's hurt, sometimes where there's tension, it needs to be with the Holy Spirit leading. Healing needs to happen. I've seen it. Drama. Family drama is some of the ugliest stuff. I've been at funerals. I'm not lying. I've been at funerals where we have to separate because they're about to go to blows. Like, what in the world is going on here? Your loved one just died and you're ready to fight? What? What? That's crazy. I've experienced it in my own family where I was like, well, no, don't visit, no, don't, like, come together. Love one another. And then it says, not forsaking the assembling of one another, of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting, not belittling, not demanding, exhorting one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. And so much more as you see the day approaching. You know, it's just my brother and I. You know, you all know my mom and my dad passed away. And we keep in touch. Hey, how's it going? I'm doing good. What are you doing? I'm doing good. Just out here feeding horses. What are you doing? I'm just out here fishing. Just out here just hanging out. But as the older brother, I feel a need to bring my brother, my younger brother, close. Because I know he's hurting. I know he misses my mom and dad. I miss them. And sometimes I ask myself, would my mom and dad be okay with us saying, oh, I'm so busy. I can't go hang. I want to go see you, but I can't. I got this going on. I'm so busy. I can't. I got this going on. And we continue to do that until the day that one of them dies and it's like, okay, well, now I can go see you. It's too late now. It's coming together. You know, and I look at my wife and I've told her, I was like, man, we quit too soon. We only have two kids. I love my boys and my boys are the pride of my heart. And they bring so much joy to me. But then I look at my brother who has four and I'm a little bit envious. I'm like, man, his family reunions are going to be great. Then I look at my best friend, David, who has five. Like, might be a little much. But I'm like, man, his family reunions are going to be great. Getting the family together and seeing everyone together is amazing. It's such a beautiful thing. And that is what God wants for his family. Right now that Christmas is coming up, Thanksgiving just passed. How many of us called a church member that maybe we hadn't seen in a while? I said, hey, you know what? We love you. I just wanted to reach out to you. How are you doing? Is there anything you need? Can I help you in any way? We get busy. Busyness is, I would say, a curse in the last days. We get busy. I got work, I got this, I got that, I got so many things to do. And sometimes it's good to be irresponsible. And say, you know what? I know I got to finish my fence, but it's more important that I go see my brother and sister-in-law. It's more important that I spend time with my nieces and nephew. I know I got this project, I know my truck's broke down, I know I got to do this to my car, but it'll keep going. Let me go do something for my church. Let me go visit brother so-and-so. Let me go visit sister so-and-so and just hug them. Don't tell them, hey, I haven't seen you in church recently. Where have you been? Why aren't you there? No, just hug them. Notice how it says when the one sheep was lost, the shepherd didn't take his staff and say, you stinking sheep, get back over there with the herd. Can you imagine? No, he picked it up, reached out, and loved it. I think, and we talk about this and we preach this, small group Bible studies. If we can do more small group Bible studies and percentage-wise, and I've been through these classes, if five people can get one more person to come to their small group Bible study, and if we have 10 groups, small group Bible studies, and that's 10 new people that can come to our church in 1 year, and you're like, wow, that we can do that. And if we do one evangelistic series and we email out this many people, this many flyers, our percentage rate to get X amount of people is this, then that'll fill the church. If we can do series dedicated to this, if we can do this, if we can do stop smoking clinics, if we can do whatever, finance clinics, if we can do all of these things, that'll help our church grow. You know what the key to success is? Allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life, to be able to love people who are out there, who need a place to belong to, where they can come to the feet of Jesus, where they can say, I feel home. I feel loved here. I feel like here I can let my guard down. I feel like here is a safe place for me to put my bags down and leave them at the cross of Jesus. That is what will help a church grow. It's amazing. It's beautiful. You know, my dad, before he died, I think I've shared this before, I have a picture in my phone, and I have a picture right here that I'll never forget. And he's standing up here like this. And he's wearing some gray slacks and a short sleeve shirt. And he weighs about half of what he weighed when he was in his prime. And he's holding the microphone. Stage 4 cancer. The doctors only gave him 3 months to live. This is about 2 years into it, where he's fighting this cancer. And he lives on morphine and fentanyl patches because he's so sick. And he's up on the platform, and he's holding the mic like this. And it's an image that I will always have right here. And I hope I never forget it. Because he's preaching the word of God as he's dying. And you know what the crazy part is? Somebody would get sick. Somebody would get sick with the flu, or they had a small surgery. And if my dad was feeling well, he would go and visit them. I said, I just came here to pray with you. See how you're doing. And they would tell him, why are you here? I need to be visiting you. You're the one who's sick. Brothers and sisters, there's people out there who are hurting. Sometimes we think to ourselves, I'm stirring the pot now. Sometimes we think to ourselves, well, we'll just bring the people from outside, bring them here. And that sounds great. And it's what we're supposed to be doing. But notice when Jesus gave the disciples a command to go and preach, where does he tell them to start? Jerusalem. And then continue to grow. And continue to grow. And continue to grow. If we want to see real church growth, if we want to feel and be part of a vibrant movement, it begins within our own home. It begins here. Calling, hey, I haven't seen you in a few years, and it's my fault. I should have called sooner. There is no excuse. I was thinking about you. I've been praying for you. Is there anything that you need? It's amazing what happens when we just show love. It's amazing what happens when we listen to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is constantly telling you, hey, Zacchaeus, you haven't called this person. Zacchaeus, you haven't gone to see this person. Oh, Lord, I'm busy. Lord, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. Zacchaeus, just call him. Just text him. Leave it in God's hands. Listen to the Holy Spirit. If he tells you to call someone, just call him. If he tells you to go visit someone, just go visit them. You don't know what they're going through, and the Lord has chosen you to reach out to them. I promise you, if we do what the Scripture says, which is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and let us consider one another, that we think about one another in love, not chastisement, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, I guarantee you, people will not want to forsake the assembling of one another. You won't want to. People will say, you know, I feel at home here in this church. I can't wait. When was the last time you heard that? I can't wait to go to church. I can't wait to see David. I can't wait to hear the piano. I can't wait to be with people that I love and who I know love me. That's my prayer. I miss my mom and dad. I do. And I'm so grateful for Jesus. And I praise God for Jesus because I know one day I'll be able to be together with him. And the thought doesn't come to my mind, oh man, but I'm going to have to deal with this family member. Oh Lord, there's going to be drama. No, not in heaven. Our churches should be a little piece of heaven. Our churches should be a little piece of heaven. I loved going through Facebook and Instagram and seeing people get together with their families, eating a bunch of food, And I asked one of the teachers, how was your Thanksgiving? He says, we had 17 people at my house. I was like, man, that is awesome. She didn't say, we had so much food. She said, we had 17 people at our house. I remember when my mom and dad were still alive, my mom, she'd always cook for an army. And Saturday would come around and stuff, and she'd make a big meal. And I'm like, who are you inviting? She's like, I don't know. I was like, okay. You know, I remember one time we had over 30 people in our house. I didn't know any of them, except for my mom and dad and my brother. I had no clue who they were. No idea. I was like, Mom, who are these people? She's like, I don't know, mijo. They're just from another church and just invited them. And God would always provide enough food. So I started asking, I was like, where are you guys from? We're from Houston. So you guys are all friends? We don't know who they are. I was like, really? Well, who are you guys? Well, we're from Dallas, the Dallas area. I was like, who do you all know? Oh, my wife. What about the rest of you guys? We don't know who any of them are. And yet, they were all laughing. They were all talking. They were all fellowshipping in the goodness of Jesus. Beautiful. Amazing. My mom and dad were known for having people. If you're hungry, that's your fault. Because if you know where the pedas are, there's going to be food there. So one time, you know, we had our youth pastor over. He performed my wife's and my wedding ceremony. We had some other friends over and stuff. And we're just kind of hanging out at the table, drinking coffee and eating some pan dulce. Just hanging out. And then somebody drove up. So you know what people do? Put your fingers through the blinds and who's out there, you know? And then I look at my mom. I was like, Mom, it's Pastor Rigatti, who was a senior pastor. She goes, Pastor Rigatti? Oh, shoot. You know, I was like, oh, shoot, the boss is here. What do we do? I was like, oh, what are we going to do? Just let them in. So we let them in. And they came in and they were like, hey, guys, can we join you? Yeah, come on in. Come on in. And we're like, okay, straighten up. You know, tuck in your shirt. Hurry up. Tuck in your shirt. So he comes in, him and his wife, and he's a tall man. I love Pastor Rigatti. Him and his family came in. His kids came in, which his kids were our age, my brothers and my age. His mom comes in, and she's a tiny little lady, petite little lady. And my mom goes, "Pastor, we're so glad you're here. You know, we weren't expecting him, but we're glad you're here." And his mom caught that. "Osvaldo, we weren't invited? Oh, no, this is so embarrassing. Osvaldo, let's go." You know, so here's this tiny little lady grabbing her son, who's about my height. It's like, "I'm so embarrassed. We got to go." And my mom and dad were like, "No, please stay and eat with us." She's like, "I'm just so embarrassed." My mom and dad were like, "We don't care. Stay with us." That's what God's family should be like. And it's funny now because y'all remember when I was a pastor in this district, we were going to find an excuse to hang out. Shoot some skeet, right, David? That's what helps a church grow. There are we're herd individuals. We love to be with one another. Let's make that happen. Put differences aside. Because at the end of the day, when we get to heaven, it's not what political party you belong to is not going to matter one bit. What your favorite dress code is for church is not going to matter one bit. Because we're going to be praising the same person, Jesus Christ. He wants to see all of his children there. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as the holidays are coming upon us, Lord, we know that more than likely Jesus may not have been born December 25th. But what matters, Lord, is that he came, that he dwelt among men to bring us to you. Despite our differences, despite our preferences, Lord, he came to show us love. And it was his gospel, Lord, of love, his message of love that brought people together, that drew people to him. Lord, may our tables be filled this Christmas season, this New Year season. May our churches become filled with people who are there because they were hurting outside, but they feel at home here because they feel loved here. Lord, I ask this of you in Jesus' name. Amen.